Chapter 11. The party went on until dawn, but by the time the faint light of a rainy day had crept through the windows high on the wall of the great hall, nearly all of the guests had gone home. The normal human guests, including the relatives and the unsuccessful suitors, had already gone to bed, even though they wouldn't leave until the next day. After staying up with us all night, Edric had wandered off to the kitchen in search of breakfast. Only Hazel, Millie, and I were still in the great hall, waiting to say farewell to the last of the guests. A trestle table had been set up to hold the everlasting bouquets. When the final guest came to claim her present, I was delighted to note that there were still two bouquets left, even though some guests had taken more than their share. It looked as though Hazel had enough bouquets for everyone. "You're sure she's the last one?" I said, gesturing toward the table where Scrofula was chatting with Hazel.
"I'm positive," said Millie. "We had the pages look everywhere, just as you suggested. They found her in the garden and brought her here to get her gift."
"Good," I said. "Then maybe it really is over." When Millie and I went to the table to say goodbye to Scrofula, she was reaching for a second bouquet.
"My sister left early. I'll give it to her the next time I see her."
"So we still had enough," I said, watching Scrofula leave.
"I don't know why you're so worried," said Millie. "If we'd run out, Hazel could have made more."
"Made more what?"
asked Garrett. I hadn't noticed him come into the room, and apparently neither had Hazel.
"Where have you been?" she asked, her gaze frosty. "I've been looking everywhere for you."
"I had things to take care of so I could concentrate on you this morning," he said, putting his arms around her. "We still have a lot to talk about."
I turned away when they started to kiss, and that's when I noticed something small and black fly in through a window and land in one of Hazel's trees. I slipped away to investigate.
"Lil, is that you?"
I whispered. A little head popped up from behind a branch.
"Why didn't you tell me there were trees in this castle?"
Lil asked.
"I could have stayed in one of these."
"They weren't here before," I said. "Hazel grew them for the party." "I'm glad you came. I was just about to go look for you. I'll be leaving as soon as I say goodbye to Millie and Hazel. The party is over. Most of the guests have left. Since there were enough gifts for everyone, no one cast a curse." Lil crawled around the bench until she was hanging upside down.
"I didn't come to say goodbye now. I was looking for Bugsy. He was late coming to see me, and then he acted funny. I was worried about him, so I followed him after he took me home. He came to the castle. He has to be around here somewhere."
"I haven't noticed any other bats, but then I haven't been looking. Maybe I should go..." Someone groaned on the other side of the tree, loudly enough that even Millie heard it.
"Emma, was that you?"
she asked from halfway across the hall.
"No,"
I whispered, tiptoeing around the trunk.
"It was..."
The swamp fairy sat up and looked at me, rubbing her eyes with her knuckles.
"What day is it?"
she asked.
"The day after my birthday party," said Hazel, joining us by the tree. "Everyone else has gone home. I thought you'd left already."
Lil pulled her wings closer to her sides, trying to make herself look smaller and less conspicuous.
"Is that a bat?"
asked Hazel, backing away from the tree.
"What is a bat doing in my castle?"
She looked around frantically, spotting a dirty tankard on a table.
"Get out of here!"
she hollered, snatching up the tankard and hurling it at Lil. The tankard missed Lil by inches, but was close enough to frighten her. Releasing her hold on the trunk, she fell a few feet, then began flapping frantically. Hazel reached for another tankard and was about to throw it when Garrett leapt in front of her and shouted, "No, don't hurt her. That's Lil." Frightened, Lil blundered onto the table where the ale had been served.
"Oh, my! Oh, my!"
she cried, knocking over an empty eggshell cup and dragging her wing in a puddle of spilled ale. I ran over to the table to help her, but Garrett was there first. He caught her in his hands, then cupped her gently and said, "Don't be afraid, Lil. It's me, Bugsy."
"What do you mean, Bugsy?"
demanded Hazel, her face turning a deep red.
"Why are you acting like you know that bat? What's going on, Garrett?"
Garrett looked up. "Hazel, I..." With Garrett distracted, it was easy for Lil to wriggle free. She slipped out of his hands and darted toward the window. "Lil, no!" Garrett called after her.
"Pardon me," said the swamp fairy, massaging her temples with her fingertips. "If you'll just give me my guest gift, I'll be on my way."
"Lil!" shouted Garrett, more loudly than before. A shadow passed over him. There was a puff of cool, dank air, and Garrett turned into a bat. Hazel shrieked when he followed Lil out the window.
"Now do you believe me?" Millie asked. "Vampires do that kind of thing."
"About that gift," the swamp fairy began.
Red-faced, Hazel turned on the fairy.
"Stop pestering me!" she screamed. "Can't you see that I'm in the midst of a crisis? I don't have any more of those bouquets anyway, so just go away and leave me alone!"
I bit my lip as the swamp fairy's eyes grew hard and her tired face turned angry.
"I can't believe you said that to me," she said to Hazel. "No one talks to the swamp fairy like that and gets away with it."
The air around the fairy began to shimmer. Raising her arms to the ceiling, the fairy called out in a loud voice,
"For being rude to fairy kind, there is a price to pay, you'll find. For those who could not be polite, we do not soon forget a slight. If, after your 15th year, you should touch a flower, dear, all your prettiness shall fade, leaving you an ugly maid. Your beauty gone, your sweetness too, no one will want to be with you. A nasty spirit, ugly face, you won't be welcome any place. Daughters of your family, too, will become nasty just like you, if, after the fated hour, they should touch a single flower. This curse shall last until the day a true love's kiss can help convey that he looks past her nasty ways to see her true self in her gaze." Thunder boomed, and green lightning flashed through the window as the fairy left the hall. When Millie cried out, Hazel turned on her and said,
"Don't be stupid. I'm a witch. My magic is more powerful than anything a fairy can throw at me."
I staggered, shocked by what had just happened. I'd come to their time to hear the curse, but had begun to hope that the fairy might not pronounce it after all. Although I'd worried about changing history, I'd meddled where I probably shouldn't have. It didn't seem to have any real effect, however, since the curse had been cast anyway, making me feel like a failure, even though I'd done what I'd originally set out to do. Millie and Hazel were arguing when I went outside to find Lil and Garrett. Lil's heart must be broken, I thought, dashing past the guards and into the garden. It was pouring rain, and I stepped in a puddle the moment I left the drawbridge, soaking my shoes and the hem of my gown. I found the two bats in the spot where I usually met Lil. Perched on a rosebush beside Garrett, she was so agitated that she couldn't sit still.
"You were one of the princess's suitors, weren't you?"
she asked Garrett.
"What did you plan to do? Were you going to marry her and never tell me? It's not going to work.
I'm sorry, Lil, he said. I didn't mean for this to happen. I never wanted to hurt you. I think you're wonderful. I'd choose you if I could, but I'd already offered my hand to Hazel. If only you and I had met sooner.
Well, we didn't. And now you're going to marry her? And to think, I wanted to stay here with you after Emma went home. Emma,
she said, turning to face me.
When are you leaving?
As soon as I change my clothes and say goodbye. I heard the curse, so I know what needs to be done.
Then I'm going to the castle with you. The sooner we get back where we belong, the happier I'll be.
I sneaked Lil into the castle inside my sleeve, which was just as well since the rooms were bustling with people clearing off the tables and hauling away the trash. After I'd changed back into my own clothes, I gathered my pouch and far-seeing ball and went downstairs to the great hall to say goodbye. We heard the sound of wailing before we reached the door. Millie was gone, but Queen Angelica and her ladies-in-waiting were there, tears streaming down their faces.
This is terrible, the queen wailed. You've offended a fairy. We've tried so hard to get along with the fairies, and now this.
Hazel rolled her eyes.
Don't be ridiculous, Mother. It doesn't mean a thing. I'm a witch. Fairies can't cast curses on witches.
Is that true?
Lil whispered.
No,
I whispered back.
Look, I'll prove it to you,
Hazel said.
And you'll see that you're being silly.
Don't!
Screamed her mother as the princess reached for an enormous blossom dangling from a vine on the wall. There was an audible gasp in the room when Hazel buried her face in the flower.
Princess Hazel, said Garrod, standing by the door, a man once again.
His eyes were sad, and he looked more dejected than a hound left behind from the hunt.
I must apologize for what just happened. I will marry you, if you'll still have me.
Of course I'll have you,
said Hazel, taking her face out of the flower. But she had changed already, and the difference was shocking. No longer lovely, her eyes were small and beady, her nose and chin so long and pointed that they nearly met in front of her mouth. Bumpy warts had sprouted on her cheek, and her once lustrous hair was thin and straggly. After one glance at her elder daughter, the queen shrieked and fled the room while two of her ladies-in-waiting fainted. Garrod's face turned ashen, but he stood his ground without flinching.
But you're going to have to change your ways, bat boy, said Hazel. No going out at night with your friends. No more all-day hunting trips. You'll stay home with me and do what I tell you. Your taste in clothes is pitiful, so I'll pick out what you'll wear. Starting tomorrow, you'll...
Garrod looked horrified. With each new pronouncement, he stepped backward, away from his future bride. She was still listing the changes she would make in his life when he reached the doorway.
I know you have an eye for the ladies, so I can't trust you. I'll need to know where you are every minute of the day. You'll report to me and...
Never!
Shouted Garrod before he turned and bolted out the door.
You're not getting away that easily, mister!
Shrieked Hazel. She had a gleam in her eye when she passed me at a run. Even after they left the room, I could hear their feet pounding the stone floor. When I felt a cool, dank puff of air, I knew that Garrod had turned back into a bat.
Well,
said Lil,
I guess he changed his mind. But I haven't changed mine. Emma, can we go home now?